God inseparably. I know, I know, and I believe you are the Lord. I know, and I believe you are the Lord. Strange and sweet collision of justice and mercy. Your burden is light and your yoke is easy. I know, and I believe you are the Lord. I know, and I believe you are the Lord. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Oh, happy fall that gained for me the chance to know you, Lord, to touch your wounded side and know the joy of my reward. I know, and I believe you are the Lord. I know, and I believe you are the Lord.
Say, I ask you to step out of the shadows. No longer do I want to hear you say, I'm going to wait and see what God is doing. The Lord said the time of waiting is over. It's time to step out. It's time to be about those things in the world that I have called you to be about that will help bring those into the kingdom of God. You sing to me, I believe that you are the Lord. Then I ask that you would step out and move into those things that I have called you to be about. I ask you to be the kingdom of God. Let me work through you. Let me give you those ideas that I have for those people that need those things. They do not need more of the same. They need me. And you are my representative here on this earth. And so I call you to step out by faith, to believe.
Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the things that I say? We often make that out to be some legalistic thing, but I want you to know that God has assignments for you daily, weekly. There are assignments for you to be about. And he will speak it to you within your core of your being, and he'll call you, and you'll say, well, I never did that before. Time to start. Time to start. The name Lord is a nice and comforting word to us, but it also rings with authority. He's the one who calls the shots, and he's looking for a people who will say, I'm bored.
We submit to you even now in our hearts. We say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are our Lord. You are our God. And we choose to submit our hearts to you. We delight in your call. And we say, yes, Lord. We believe. And you are our Lord. You are our Lord.
My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God, I know, and I believe you are
It is essential for us not to be hearers only, but to be doers, those who walk in accordance with the Word of God. When He speaks, O Lord, your Word we receive, we obey, we pursue you, our God. We pursue you, our God. In this just holy moment here, I would just want us, each of us, in our own little spot, in our own life, in our own situation, wherever we live, where we know the call of God. You see, he's talking to Pat about Pat's ministries. He's talking about Pat to be the kingdom of God in all of Pat's locations. He's talking to you about your spot, where you live, where you do business, where you, anything. So I want you to just put your heart open before the Lord just right now and say, Father, where you have me, there I will be. your kingdom representative. And I want us to, in a heart of repentance, agree with his word, even right now. So, Lord, we just do that. Each of us in our own spot, we agree with you and your word. We will be who you have called us to be. Out there, wherever that is, God, wherever you have for us to be your representatives, we say yes. Amen. Amen. Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown in the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me. Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Trust in him, ways and when, still know his name. Let go my soul and trust in him, ways and when, still know his name.
It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is
said, this day I am breaking the back of the enemy's encampment of unbelief in the lives of my people. No longer will you stand before me and say, I'm not sure about this and I'm not sure about that. But the breaking of the encampment that has been against my people will be moved out of the way. There will be a clarity within your eyes and within your heart that says, I believe you, Lord. I stand and I believe you. This day, you will begin to move in the truth that I speak to you. You will know me, you will understand me, and you will trust me.
Now we can yawn and say, that's nice. Or we can say, I take that for me. I'm in. I receive that. I want that. It shall be accomplished for me. I will be different from henceforth. I want you to get on board or get off, but acknowledge what you're doing to yourself. I'm getting on or I'm getting off. It's a choice. Father, I'm thankful that you have stepped into the middle of the mess. And that you have purpose to do stuff for us. And I'm thankful. I step into what you have done. I receive what you're doing. Tomorrow, today, now, from henceforth, it shall be different because you have broken the back of the enemy. And life is ours to live and see it happen.
Because of you, we will step forward. We will step forward. Let's just say that together. We will
step forward.
We will step forward into the call, into the plans, into your goodness. We will go forward. And Lord, there will be nothing that prevents us. We will see, we will hear, and we will walk with you. We are your people. We are your people.
Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. We are yours. Could you say that with me? Say, I am yours. Say, I am yours. And say, I am your child. And I am your kingdom. I go. And wherever I go, your kingdom goes. Say, I go. And wherever I go, your kingdom goes. Because I am your child.
Your kingdom come, and your will be done. Amen.
For every curse, you're the cure. For every sickness, you're the healer. For every storm, you're the calm. For all that's lost, oh, what a Savior. On that cross of Calvary, every burden has been defeated, every wretched heart redeemed. You drown our sins in seas of crimson.
Let's go back to verse 1.
For every curse, you're the cure. For every sickness, you're the healer. For every storm, you're the calm. For all that's lost, oh, what a Savior. Hallelujah, death is beaten. Christ has risen from the grave. Oh, hallelujah, it is finished. All to you the highest praise. On that day of utmost glory, all of darkness cannot tarry. Every shackle will come undone. My solid rock, thine is the King.
We're going to start that one again.
On that day of utmost glory, all of darkness cannot tarry. Every shackle will come undone. My solid rock, thine is the kingdom. Every shackle will come undone. My solid rock, thine is the kingdom. Hallelujah, death is beaten. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah, it is finished. All to you the highest praise. Oh, hallelujah, death is beaten. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah, now and forever. All to you. Your love rushed in. Where sin runs deep, your grace runs deeper. For all enslaved, the ransom paid. Light of the world, yours is the power. Where there was sin, your love rushed in. Where sin runs deep, your grace runs deeper. For all enslaved, the ransom paid. Light on the world, yours is the power. Hallelujah, death is beaten, Christ. to you the highest praise. Hallelujah, death is beaten, Christ has risen from the grave. Hallelujah, it is in forever, all to you the highest praise. Every burden has been defeated. Every wretched are redeemed. You drown our sins in seas of crimson.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it incredible and exciting? Isn't it delightful that every problem that is common to mankind, you've got some, I've got some, but they've got them. The solution is in the one who lives inside of you. Every problem has a solution, and his name is Jesus. And he lives inside of you. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Go ahead, say that. Say, I am the light of the world. I bring the solution to every problem wherever I go. Amen.
Praise you, my foxes in the vineyard will not steal my joy, because you are good to me, good to me. You are good to me, good to me. You are good to me, because you are good to me, good to me. You, your goodness and mercy shall follow me all my life, trust in your promise. Your goodness and mercy shall follow me all my life. I trust in your promise. Your goodness and mercy shall follow me all my life. Trust in your promise, because you are good to me, good to me. You, good to me, good to me. You are good to me. Ooh, you are good to me, good to me. You are good to me, good to me. You are good to me. You good to me, good to me. You are good to me. God is my Redeemer, and He heals me with reassuring love, and I love my Redeemer. Redeemer, and He heals me with reassuring love, and I love my Redeemer. Soars like an eagle in the presence of the Lord, as I circle the throne of God and behold His glory. And I behold the living creature singing, holy, 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 And I see the 24 elders bringing glory to the Lamb. Multitudes of angels rejoicing in His presence. And I go on it home. God is mine. Oh, God is my Redeemer. And He heals me with reassuring love. And I love my, oh, I love my Redeemer. Overwhelming, overcome. Never seen anything like the beauty of the Lord. You're up.
I had another sense that the Lord wants to deal with emotional and spiritual things within us that have kept us from moving into the things that He has for us. It has the sense of somewhere in some people's lives, they've been rejected somehow by somebody in authority over them. Perhaps somebody said, you'll never measure up. Perhaps somebody has said, you'll never amount to anything. Or they've sort of backburned you because you didn't quite measure up to their standard. The Lord said, I've got healing for you today for that. And it has to do with the unbelief that we talked about at the beginning of the service. If you're carrying something within you, a wound of some type that you've carried for a long, long time, that's going to fester into unbelief. And so God wants to deal with that. So anyone that would like a prayer or ministry for that, quickly. Please come forward.
While we're worshiping, while we continue to worship, if you would like prayer, please move right now while the worship continues.
My eyes have never seen anything like the beauty of the Lord. As I lift up my heart and praise Him, I fall down. Waves and waves of glory come and overtake me, and I'm immersed in the ocean of the living love of God. And suddenly I'm flooded with the glory of His presence. The beauty of the Lord. As I lift up my heart and praise Him, I'll fall down. Waves and waves of glory come and overtake me. I'm immersed in the ocean of the laboring love of God. When suddenly I'm flooded with the glory of His presence, and I call it home. How He is mine. Oh, God is my redeemer. He heals me with love. I love my, oh, I love my Redeemer. Overwhelming, overcoming,
file ahead up. Did I get the wrong file up? Okay, we're going to start again. Ready? Here it is.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The whole earth is full of His glory. The whole earth is full of His glory. Holy is the Lord. Though in the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee. Perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. All thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his hold. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, the Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great is our God. All praise, my heart will sing how great is our God. Oh, name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great is our great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
You are our Lord, our God. We are grateful for what you have ministered to us already today. We declare and decree over this congregation both the healing from these hurts and the sending forth in your will and under your protection and under your keeping and in your way, moving your kingdom forward. We say yes, Lord, to you. Yes, 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 Lord, we say to you. You are our Lord and you are our God. And we worship you. We worship you.
The thing that began to stir in me at the prayer meeting this morning was stuff out of the book of Daniel, which I had just recently read, and I felt like there was some application there for us, particularly in this time of transition. I'm jumping into the middle of chapter 2 for just a moment, and then we'll go back in a more sequential way. But George wants to speak a little bit about this coming week, and so as a way of introduction to George. Daniel, in chapter 2, is about to speak to the king about an impossible question that the king had asked. And before he gets into his words to the king, he makes this declaration: let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes times and epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To thee, O God, my Father, I give thanks and praise. For thou hast given me wisdom and power. Even now, thou hast made known to me what has been requested of thee. Where did George go? Nice timing, George. The point that I was wanting to make out of this was simply this. God is the one who raises up one king and puts down another. God establishes nations and takes down another nation. And this week we are faced with the need to go to the polls and vote. And in some respect, we participate in the establishment of government in America. But before we go there, we recognize something. God is the one who puts one up and takes another down. And so as we participate in the electoral process, I'd like us to recognize that our first and primary responsibility is to say, God, you're the one who brings order. You establish a nation, you tear it down. You're the one. And we want to participate with you in this process. And so this week, it's a week to be sure to exercise your spiritual right and authority. Participate with God in the process. I mean, you can say, okay, God's going to do it all. I don't have to do anything. That means you never have to witness. You never have to share. You never have to pray for anybody. You just do nothing. Or you can recognize that God has determined to order the events of life through his people. And that happens to be this week, in one time of the year. This week, we can participate with him in establishing some measure of governmental authority in our nation. So that's your introduction, George, if you can't make that thing work out there. Okay, you got it. All right.
I just wanted to come together with you and agree for the will of God be done in the kingdom of God. The sense that I personally had, is this actually working now, buddy? It is? What's that? It's on, yeah. Maybe I'll switch with you. This thing's giving us a little pass.
Are we good now? All right, there we go. The sense I've had is forward motion. That's the sense. The sense is I don't know about you, okay, but the Lord, when he speaks to me, he gives me a direction, a word, a place to intercede, even a sense of his will in the matter. And it's out of his word that we've can stand, on his word that we can stand, and out of his word that we can act, okay? And so my intercessory sense is forward motion for the nation. It's time for forward motion, not stasis, not back, not confusion, not, you know, upside down, but forward motion, okay? And not just for the nation, but for the state, which I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little frustrated with the state. So I got to kind of repent of that and get moving forward in the state, and then get moving forward in the local arena as well. So that's my intercessory position, because that's where I'm hearing. Okay, and if you want to, you can agree with me in this prayer. Lord, we just thank you that you have a good word over this nation. You have a good word that you have declared over this nation, that we are to move forward in your kingdom. Lord, I declare your kingdom come over this nation. We decree forward motion. And Lord, we just insist on it. We declare it and we decree it and we call it forth in the name of Jesus. Move forward into the kingdom of God, United States of America. And Lord, we also pray the same over the New York State. Lord, asking you for your mercy to move us. Lord, we just want to see a movement, a good impetus, a little piece of motion toward you in this election. Lord, we yield to you. We declare you are our Lord, you are our God, you are our King, and we declare that you are King. Because we are here, you are King here. We also declare over the local elections as well, Lord, forward motion. Lord, may godly people be put into the places of influence in our governments, in our culture, in our land, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember to pray. And remember to vote.
Now I'm on, right? when the electronics don't work, we blame the sound man, and then when I don't turn it on, we blame the sound man. Okay, here we go. We're going to talk about two people, but we're actually going to talk about three, because the lessons we see in the book of Daniel apply to each of us. Chapter 1, we're going to do just three or four chapters, aren't you glad? And chapter 1, the lesson that I wanted to pull out of chapter 1 is down about the just a few verses. If I'd known I was going to preach on this, I'd have brought my Bible. I have to put up with my wife's Bible. It's a very good Bible. But by the way, it's her birthday and also Larry's birthday. Where did Larry go? He must have known this. They're celebrating their birthdays today, and the reason that you have an extra hour of sleep this morning is a gift of their birthday to you. So you should be very, very thankful that both Larry and Betsy are celebrating their birthday today. Verse 8, and Daniel made up his mind. He was a captive, a slave, sent to Babylon. He didn't have an awful lot of freedom or liberty, but Daniel made up his mind. You know, this morning we have been told that we have an opportunity now to step into some stuff. God has broken off some stuff, and he's saying there's opportunity out there for you, and there's a question. Will you make up your mind to step into what God has for you? Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission to be excluded from the rule. He made up his mind that he was going to serve God no matter what. He wasn't in a position to just do whatever he felt like. He was a slave, a captive. He had a great opportunity in front of him. He was going to be set into the king's personal service. This is a big moment. And so then he goes and shoots off his mouth. Daniel made up his mind he was going to serve the Lord. It would be valuable for us to grab that this morning and make up our minds that we will not participate in the stuff of the world around us, but choose to press in and serve God. The second person that we're going to talk about is Nebuchadnezzar, and we're going to do three or four chapters about him. And he was a man of a little bit different character. He was the king. He was a mighty king. He didn't have to answer to anybody about anything. At least that's the way he felt. And in chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar is having dreams in the night, and he's not sure of what they meant. And you probably remember the dream. He had a dream about an image, a golden image, golden head, silver chest, bronze, iron, mixture of iron and clay, feet. And he pulled together his wise men, his soothsayers and astrologers, and he said to them, I've had a dream that's upsetting to me, and I want you to tell me what it means. And what happened? They said, sure, we'll tell you. Just lay it out to us. And he says, you tell me the dream, and you tell me the interpretation. And the soothsayers and the guys... Nobody, no king anywhere has ever required their wise men to do this. And the king says, you guys are just fooling around. You tell me what the dream was, and then you tell me what it means. And if you don't, you're going to be cut a foot shorter. Top down. And that was his issue. And the guys said, wait a minute. Nobody ever required wise men or soothsayers to do that. He says, well, I am. And if you don't come up with the answer in a big hurry, you're going to have a very short life. Well, eventually the word got to Daniel, who was one of the wise men of the kingdom. the one who had made up his mind he would serve only God. And he says, well, give me a moment. And he called his buddies together, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, let's pray because we need to hear from God. And the verses that I read to you earlier was what he said. Once he had gotten the understanding of what the dream was and what the meaning was, that's when he celebrated and said, oh my goodness, what a great God. He's the God who raises up one nation, puts down another. And that's what the dream was about. And so eventually he goes into the see of the king and he tells the king that the image, gold, silver, bronze, iron mixed with clay, and perhaps most important of all was the mountain that was cut out of the mountain, stone cut out of the mountain, hits the image, wipes out the image and covers the whole earth, which of course is the image, the picture of the kingdom of God, which was to come. And so he laid out the dream to the king, and he said, King Nebuchadnezzar, you are the golden head of this image. And King Nebuchadnezzar gets all excited about this fact that the guy was able to tell him, and you, O king, are the king of kings, to whom God of the heavens has given the kingdom and the power and the strength and the glory. And wherever the sons of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, or the birds of the sky, he has given them into your hand and has caused you to rule over them. Rule over them all, for you are the head of gold. I'm going to skip ahead. And verse 47, the king answered Daniel and said, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and a revealer of mysteries, since he was able to reveal this mystery to you. And the king promoted Daniel, gave him many great gifts, made him a ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel made a request of the king, and that he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon, and Daniel was in the king's court. All right, that's the first, that's chapter 2, but it's the first occasion. What was Nebuchadnezzar supposed to learn out of this? That, you went right to the heart of it. He might be the golden head of the image, but there was a God in the heavens. We go to chapter 3, and you discover that King Nebuchadnezzar hadn't learned much. In chapter 3, we have the king building a golden image from top to foot. And he says, everybody needs to bow down and worship this image. And in that was this idea that he, Nebuchadnezzar, was the image that all of nation, the whole nation, should bow down and worship. And then we have a different story. We have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who refused to bow down and worship. And I suppose even the kids know the story. They don't bow down and worship. What's going to happen? They're going to be thrown into the fire. Okay, so they stoked up the furnace, hot, seven times hotter than ever before. And they took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, tied them up and threw them into the fire. What happened to the soldiers that threw them into the fire? Does anybody know? They got killed. They got consumed. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went and had a visitation. In the middle of the fire, they met with somebody. Who'd they meet with? Jesus. And we'd say that. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are walking around in the middle of the fire. Happy birthday, Mr. Zimmerman. He came in just to get his birthday greeting. Be sure that you greet him after the service. Walking around in the fire was a fourth man, which was Jesus. And eventually Nebuchadnezzar said he went closer to the fire, got close enough so that he, as far as his eyebrows were singed, that's as close as he wanted to get. And he says, come on out. And so out comes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the scripture said it didn't even smell like smoke. And I want to read now, if I can find it. Nebuchadnezzar, verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar responded. I will read 26. And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace, of the blazing fire, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. And the satraps and the prefects and the governors and the king's high officials gathered around and saw, in regard to these men, that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was there a hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire come upon them. And Nebuchadnezzar, now verse 28, responded and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command, and yielded up their bodies so as to not to serve nor worship the God except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Notice what's happening. I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their homes reduced to a pile of rubble. You thought that the Israelis were the first ones to tear down the houses of their enemies? That's happening today? Well, it happened back in Babylon. If anybody speaks against them, they will be destroyed. And then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. So in the chapter 2, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are promoted by Daniel. Chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar even does more. The message to King Nebuchadnezzar is slow getting through. I want you to know that I believe that he was being spoken to in chapter 2. You're the king, you're the head of gold, but there is a king. Second chapter, the second occasion, there is an image of gold, but there is a greater king. There's a greater one. And Nebuchadnezzar sort of got the message. The God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego worship is the greater one. But he still hadn't got the message. Now, I want you to follow this in chapter 3. Excuse me now. We'll go to chapter 4. And he has another dream. He's a dreamer. And you may recall that his dream in chapter 4 is that there's this tree, huge, magnificent tree that just spreads out and covers the whole earth, and the birds and the animals take refuge under the huge tree. And in the dream, a being from heaven comes down and chops the tree off, right down at the base, puts a band of bronze around it. And then there's a season of time where the dew falls on the earth, and it's a season in which ugly things are happening, and then there's a time of restoration, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, this tree. And so Nebuchadnezzar calls his men in again, his wise men, and says, okay, what's the meaning of this dream? And they stumbled around in circles for a while until Daniel came in. And Daniel said, I can tell you the meaning of the dream. I wish it were about somebody else, not you, but it's about you. But before we go there, I want you to see the significance of this. In the vision, angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven and shouted out as he spoke as follows, Chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its foliage and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it, and let the birds from its branches. Leave the stump with its roots in the ground, band of iron and bronze around it, new grass of the field, let him be drenched. It suddenly went from the tree to let him. A band around the trunk, new grass on the field, and let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his mind, the tree became a hymn. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let the beast's mind be given to him, and let the 7 periods of time pass over him. This sentence is by decree of the angelic watchers, and the decision is commanded of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes and sets it over the lowliest of men. Daniel came in, and they call him Belteshazzar here, but Belteshazzar and Daniel, the same person. Belteshazzar answered and said, "My Lord, if only the dream applied to those who hate you and its interpretation to your adversaries." And he begins to tell the dream, which you, the tree which you saw, which became large, whose foliage was beautiful, abundant in fruit. It is you, O king. For you have become great and grown strong, and your majesty has become great and reached the sky, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. And in that the king saw an angelic watcher, a holy one, descend from heaven, saying, "Chop it to the ground. Yet leave the stump with its roots in the ground, with the band of iron and bronze round it. Let him be drenched." Suddenly it goes from the stump to a hymn. Notice this. Chop it down. Band of iron. New grass. And let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him share with the beasts of the field. 7 periods of the time pass over. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the degree. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king, that you will be driven away from mankind and from your dwelling place. The king, in all of his glory, is going to be chopped down, and he was going to be driven away until the 7 periods of time passed over. He would be like a beast in the field, walking in circles, eating grass and acting like an animal until the 7 periods of time. And notice what he's looking for. And it has been commanded that to leave the stump with the roots of the tree. Your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. The message to Nebuchadnezzar finally is laid out in very clear detail. There is a God in the heavens who rules over the affairs of men and nations. And even if you happen to be the greatest king on earth, the golden head of all those images, no matter who you are, there's a God who rules over the earth. And until you acknowledge him, you will be driven out and operate like a wild beast in the fields. This is what's coming to you. And when you acknowledge God, then your kingdom will be restored. Now listen, this is incredible. Not so incredible that he be knocked down, but that the sovereign of the universe can say, "I'm going to cut you down to size. You'll walk in circles for 7 periods of time. You'll eat grass like an ox. Your mind will be gone from you. And after you acknowledge that I am the Lord your God, then I will restore your kingdom and restore your glory. I'll put you back in charge of things. Now, one miracle, I think the smaller miracle was to chop the tree down. The greater miracle was in the face of all that happened, it transpired in between. I don't care who was in power. I know men well enough to know that there was probably a dozen people that wanted the job. But when his time was up, when he had was turned back to the Lord and acknowledged the greatness of God in his life, God raised him up and God plugged him back in power. He learned the message, the lesson. What's that got to do with us? This morning, the Lord said to us that we have been given an opportunity to function as his servants and princes with authority to operate in his kingdom in our world. There's places that he has called you to operate as his co-regent in the world. It's not up to you to figure out what you're going to do. He has a plan. And he has pulled off the clouds of darkness and unbelief, and he says, I want you to go out and serve me in your world, carrying my heart and my message to your world. I have things for you to be about. That is what we heard this morning. Daniel, in the chapter 1 of this book, said, Daniel said he had made up his mind right from the start. Doesn't matter what it costs, but he was going to serve God and he would not participate in the affairs of this nation. Not let the gods and the junk of this world change his heart. He was going to serve God. King Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, was faced with the reality that there is a God in the heavens again and again and again. And finally in chapter 4, finally he got the message. But the message was, Nebuchadnezzar, you may be the greatest king on earth, but there is a greater one who rules over the affairs of men and whole nations. And you need to submit to him. This morning, when the Lord showed us that he's pulling away the clouds of darkness and of unbelief and says, here is your opportunity, the promise that he puts in front of us is one in which he calls us to walk with him and accomplish his purposes. There is one item that I think I should tag on to the end of this. God is love. When he calls you to move, it will be the call of love. If he calls you to speak, it will be love speaking. If he calls you to act, it will be love acting. If he calls you not to something, it will be love not something. I really want you to get this. It's not, Christianity is not a rule book. Christianity is love in motion, love in action. The fulfillment of the law is not memorize the law and do everything you remember. The fulfillment of the law is love. Now, the definition of love, according to Scripture, is this. Love is patient and kind and long-suffering, does not keep a record of faults. Do you remember the definition? And so the opportunity that will be in front of you, which will be love in action, will be an opportunity to be patient, an opportunity or to be kind, or to be gentle. Do you understand what I'm saying? God will give us opportunities to operate in the very nature and character of God in our world, which is love. But I want you to break love down a little bit to where it is. I'm just going to read. That's Corinthians 13. I think it's in this Bible, too. It's my wife's Bible, so I'm not positive. But if it's like my Bible, it'll be there. 13 follows 12. If you get that out. 13. Love is patient. I got news for you. God will give you an opportunity to be patient. That'd be fun, won't it? Looking for an opportunity to be patient. Love is kind. There'll be plenty of opportunities to be kind. I'm telling you, this is what's open in front of you in the coming days. Love is not jealous. Somebody's got more than you, or has got the applause. Yay, God for Joe. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag about and is not arrogant. Opportunity to be humble. To take second place. Third or fifth. I'm talking to you about the reality of where we live. Opportunity to be kind and gentle and humble. Does not act unbecomingly. Does not seek its own. Is not easily provoked. You ever been provoked? One of my translations, it says, not angered. I didn't know anything about anger. My goodness, what's wrong with it? Does not take into account wrong suffered. Doesn't think about that. Doesn't keep a record of wrongs suffered. In other words, forgiveness. Love is forgiving. The opportunities in front of you, I'm trying to get as real and as practical as I can. When we talk about love, it's such a big and sort of nebulous word, it doesn't mean anything. But when you talk about being patient and being kind and not keeping a record of faults, do you hear? Now we're right where the rubber meets the road. And that's what God is going to put in front of you. Does not rejoice. Well, does not take into account wrong suffered. Man. You ever been wronged? And it works at you and eats at you weeks and months later. And you say, but I forgave him. But you're still... We're talking about a lack of love, not... You say, oh, I love him. I just can't stand him. Because after all, he did... You're getting the picture? It's serious business. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. The fulfillment of the law is love. Love that is earmarked by faithfulness, mercy, kindness, forgetfulness in terms of forgetting the faults and the wrongs. You see the picture? In the days ahead, God has removed the clouds of unbelief, darkness. And he's saying, I put before you opportunities. And there'll be opportunities to show kindness, to show mercy, to show forgiveness, to show the grace of God. Because you see, the God who is a God of love will motivate you to do what he would like to do. And you're his hand. You're his mouthpiece. You say, well, I don't have that much love. And I remind you of the scripture, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That means patience has been poured out in your heart. Kindness and mercy and grace and forgiveness has been poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. He came to do that very thing. And he's looking for a people that will say, okay, here I am. Love through me. And he says, okay, show some kindness over here and some forgiveness over there and some mercy over there. And rejoice in the truth, because that's what I'm about. So, Father, here we are this morning, and we recognize that you have been gracious to us and spoken to us again of your love. And you've once again stepped into our lives and picked off of some of the junk that we've carried. We thank you for that. Thank you for your mercy that even when we come in with our junk, you reach past the junk to hug us. We thank you for that. We thank you for removing the clouds of unbelief and replacing them with faith in a loving God who's merciful and compassionate. Who removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, may we also carry that kind of love into our world and release that kind of life into the people that you have assigned us to. Father, we're thankful for a man like Daniel who made up his mind that he would serve the one and only God. May we also serve the one and only true God. May we, without all the drama, understand there is a God in the heavens who raises up one and puts another down, and we can trust him with our daily issues. We can trust him to raise up or to put down. He's big enough to handle it. And we can trust him to do it. And we can carry his love and his grace into our world. Hear our prayer, O God, and accomplish your purposes in us, and through us establish your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, folks. Have a great week. Remember, there is one in the heavens who raises up one nation, puts down another. One person or another. He's not limited to just dealing with nations. It's his heart to deal with individuals. Let him be your God. Bless you. Have a good one.